Thank you very much. Let's see. First, I want to thank the APHA organizers for accepting this session, and Mike for moderating, the presenters whom we have today, and of course all the researchers and the community groups for their individual and collective efforts to contribute to the evidence base of risk and benefits of eating fish and risk communication strategies. And I'd like to point out that Rebecca, Jim, and Earl Hatley, co-authors on this presentation, are here with us from Oklahoma. So now, having been in New York and Minnesota, we'll go to Oklahoma and look at launching a fish consumption and body burning study among the American Indians, Hispanics, and Micronesians there. All right, I do have no relationships to disclose. All right, so this is the overview of this talk about Grand Lake watershed in northeastern Oklahoma. We'll look at some locations of coal-fired power plants, some exposure and risk issues, and then the social justice issues. Here's our Grand Lake watershed in northeastern Oklahoma. The circle shows where Grand Lake is and where our mercury study site is. We have concern about the mercury in the fish at Grand Lake and about the body burden of mercury in subsistence fishers because of nearby cement plants that are not shown and because there are 6 coal-fired plants in Oklahoma alone. Now, I thought this was going to step through here, but it's not apparently stepping through. Everything's on there that should be on there. It should have arrived one by one. All right. So the toxics release inventory data for the 6 coal-fired power plants are shown here in pounds of mercury per year by county. And also the annual wind data from the Ottawa County, as shown by this wind rose, demonstrates that the prevailing wind is from the south and the southeast and southwest. Thus, the wind blows the mercury emissions in the direction of the Grand Lake watershed, as you can see here, from these power plants right up to this corner. And this is at Ottawa County up here. This slide is a slide depicting a model-based analysis of airborne mercury emissions in Kansas, the neighboring state, where a large portion of the Grand Lake watershed is located. And I've pointed out the hotspots, the mercury hotspots here in this circle. This one is the Oklahoma map. Again, it's a model-based analysis for Oklahoma. And I want to point out for both of these that this analysis was done on 2001 mercury data. However, as Earl has advised me, the 2008 mercury emissions data for Oklahoma and Kansas are about the same as they were in 2001. So this is a fair representation of mercury deposition, wet and dry deposition. And here's our study site right here. So you can see we're in a high deposition area. Now, these maps pertain only to mercury emitted within this state. So this being an Oklahoma map, this shows mercury emitted only in Oklahoma. It doesn't collect all this mercury down here from Texas. All right, back to our larger map now. We can see that the circles represent the high mercury deposition areas that we saw in those yellow deposition maps. On to look at some of our demographics. When comparing Ottawa County with the United States, we can see that the American Indian population is very high in Ottawa County, 16%. We have 19% of the folks in that county are below poverty level, and the median household income is $18,000 less in Ottawa County than in the United States as a whole. And it's about $10,000 less than in the rest of Oklahoma. So this is a low-income county. Now, a lot of the Population of Oklahoma is American Indians, as you saw. There are 9 tribes that are extant in Ottawa County alone. Not surprising because of the presence of Grand Lake. So you can picture a lot of American Indians coming to the Grand Lake area because there's very good fishing in that area. And the Indians moved into Oklahoma, as most of you know, because of the Indian Removal Project, a project of President Andrew Jackson in the 1930s, to remove all the Indians from Tennessee and neighboring states. So this is a major social injustice that dates back 180 years. The Micronesian population in our study come from the Federated States of Micronesia, a collection of states and islands 6,000 miles west of California and northeast of Papua New Guinea, if you can picture your Pacific Ocean. Fishing was their primary livelihood, and in Micronesia now, they are working to restore and sustain the resource out there, so they have a major problem with the fishing resource. The adult Micronesians living in Grand Lake watershed area speak little English, if any, use several different dialects as similar to the Hmong, and the Micronesians come from a tribal community structure, as do the American Indians. Their high school age children are the ones learning and speaking English, and those are the ones with whom we can work most easily. The Hispanics make up 4.5% of the population in Ottawa, so we have included them and are translating our materials into Spanish. In terms of the risk, many of you know how methylmercury works. Bacteria decompose or eat regular mercury and create methylmercury. Methylmercury is then deposited in the, it is in the soil and the water, and the fish eat that methylmercury, and of course the methylmercury goes up the aquatic food chain. Methylmercury is lipophilic, it likes fats, and so the fattier fish have more mercury in them. The EPA level of 1 part per million of methylmercury in hair is in equilibrium with a 5.8 micrograms per liter of mercury in blood, and this amounts to consuming 0.1 micrograms per kilogram body weight per day of methylmercury, not very much. Subsistence fishes are at risk because they eat a lot of fish, and some like it best when the fish are big. Women and children are at risk because the neurotoxic effects of mercury can harm the neurodevelopment of the fetus and interfere with ongoing brain and nervous system development. So our study will provide informal fish eating advisories, not government agency advisories. And these advisories will be based on mercury in fish tissue. We will also be able to inform individuals and the 3 ethnic groups, Hispanics, American Indians, and Micronesians, differentially of their mercury body burden and work with them to work out the implications of the body burden results that we do find. Looking at the social justice issues, we can use an adapted version of the Johari window as a paradigm in which to think about social justice. The 2x2 matrix is set up so that only in the upper left-hand quadrant do we have the situation where everyone has equal knowledge and about a given topic, and equal access to however you want to define it. Information, affordable, healthy food, healthcare, resources, etc. Thinking further, there is total dysfunction if no one knows and no one has access, and that would be in this quadrant. So we blanked out that cell. If many know and have access, and some don't, there is injustice. And we label this marginalization. If many don't know or have access, and some do, this is also injustice. We have labeled this elitism or privilege. So, seeking justice, we want a situation where all can know and know, and all can have access. And this is the ideal of democracy. So let's define our social justice issues. People should have access to and be able to partake in affordable and safe food, knowledge of what fish are unsafe to eat, cultural traditions and local customs, affordable, enjoyable recreation, appreciation of the natural world, and relaxing, stress-reducing activities. In terms of the Grand Lake Watershed Study, we have asked, what is the current body burden, then, of methylmercury in subsistence fishes? Do they have access to healthy, affordable food? Are they at risk? Are subsistence fishes at risk? Are women and children at risk? And can we identify safe fish and safe fish consumption frequencies that maximize the nutritional and social benefits and don't impact their health or their family food budget? So, in terms of study methods, the lead agency of Miami, Oklahoma, Rebecca and Earl are major contributors to that agency. That agency is a major player in all aspects of the study. We have involved tribal leaders, community boards, focus groups, and are recruiting participants where people fish. We've used focus groups and meetings and the community advisory board to help develop the food questionnaire. So here's a wonderful picture I took at a powwow a couple years ago, right, Rebecca? And then this is our Micronesian population, high school students. So in summary, we have partnership and collaboration with the Hispanics, Native Americans, Micronesians. We're involving their customs, practices, their fish eating practices, et cetera, and their preferences in our work. We have transparency, and we have shared across communities the study design and methods development process. We intend and will have shared results as communities. The communities will know what fish present methylmercury risk, and as individuals, they will know their mercury body burden, and that knowledge can inform their healthy food choices. So hopefully in health, then, with good knowledge and with good access to knowledge and access to the science that we all work together on, they will be able to enjoy Grand Lake in as a recreation as well as a subsistence fishing event for them. In terms of acknowledging our study team members, I'd like to mention Jim Shine and John Spengler and Zhao Dong, and who are at Harvard, Robert Lynch, who's at the University of Oklahoma and on the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality Oklahoma Air Committee, and also Gina Manders, who's part of the lead agency. Our funding is coming from the National Institute for Environment and Health Sciences, the R21 grants, and we thank you very much. This is the website here, and Rebecca just handed me a really nice bumper sticker that says, "What's in your watershed?" So thank you very much.
Okay, we have time for a couple of questions. Yeah, some questions?
Yes. I want to know if you used, you were talking about using the body burden of the mercury in the fecal system. Did you do biomarkers of their blood or?
We were collecting hair samples.
Hair samples, okay.
And food frequency questionnaires. Okay. So we'll be collecting hair samples and food frequency questionnaires every 3 months. Uh-huh. So that in order to get the seasonality of the fishing and the consumption of fish. Right.
Okay. And did you use any community mapping or anything like that at your site?
We haven't used any community.
We are working on it. We are working on it.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other?
Anybody else? Okay. Let's thank Anne again.